You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truthful Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 23rd of June, 2017, and we finally managed to hook up over the internet so that we could connect to the radio server and finally bring you an episode of our podcast. I'm joined tonight, as always, by Mr. Dennis Wise, producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. But we are having to use a telephone line tonight, so bear with us, and hopefully you'll still be able to understand him. I can understand him. Dennis, how are you doing today?
Well, I feel like I'm in Hitler's bunker at the moment.
Well,
I don't know if you can hear me. I'm going to try and talk slowly and clearly if I can.
Yeah, I can hear you okay. I'm sure the listeners will be able to hear you okay, or at least at the same level that I'm at. Well, at least we've been trying for the last 15 minutes to actually connect up. And I know Skype have been having lots of issues this week. I had one day when I couldn't actually connect at all. So don't think that it's only yourself that's been having this problem, Dennis. The whole of Europe's been having it.
Yeah, well, it happens, doesn't it? Technology.
Yeah, well, and also I know you've been very busy as well, working hard trying to get the next part of the documentary series finished in time for tonight's episode.
Yeah, I finished it as well. It's a shame.
Well, at least you'll be able to get it uploaded after this. At least we'll be able to talk about it here. I know you wanted to talk about some parts of it particularly. So what have we got to look forward to then in the new episode?
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that at some point I was going to steer away from all the revolutions and just go a little bit deeper to find out, you know, causes of why things are happening, especially why we've got a body count of millions of Christians and priests, and everywhere we go throughout revolutions from the French right through up to present day. So consequently, I have broke away from that. I've gone into more or less what they believe. Which may not be applicable to some people, but it doesn't really matter. What counts is what they believe, because this is what drives them.
So you're looking at exactly what it is that makes them so twisted, because I know a lot of the time people say, oh, well, I don't believe in the Bible, so why should I be bothered? Well, the thing is that they believe in a twisted version of the Bible, so it's worth knowing just what it is their interpretation of it is, because that gives you the understanding of their motives. I know you're particularly referring to Luciferianism and looking forward to the Antichrist and all this sort of Masonic stuff. Isn't that what you've been looking at, Dennis?
Yeah, well, that is it. Yeah, I mean, basically, a lot of people find it too much to actually think that people dedicate all their lives to this kind of thing. But they realise that it won't be done in a lifetime. It's been going on for a few thousand years, this. And it goes through all the family route, you know, the family lines and the secrecy. And it expands to other countries like America when they find, you know, the New World. So all this is all states way back, waiting for the time, for things to happen. And the way things are going these days, it certainly looks like we're close to that.
They've certainly been working up towards this. I think a lot of what we see around us is sort of prophecies being fulfilled. Most of them have all been fulfilled. And you know, there's two different ways of looking at the Antichrist. You can look at it as it's going to be one figure that these Satanists and these Masons are looking forward to. And there's the other way of looking at it, that it's a plural, that it's a whole group of people that are anti-Christian, which is the Jews. So both of them are linked up with it. I think you've been concentrating on their view of this one figure of the Antichrist, haven't you?
Yeah, the guy who's narrating actually states that he's named in the Bible. I'll come to that a little bit later on, but if you want to just go through it, best we can. The first part, there was a guy in the set during the 1970s in America who broke away from the Illuminati and did several talks on YouTube discussing his change to Christianity, and he would discuss things at that time, which were absolutely unheard of, normal to a lot of people today, but unheard of at that time. And he used to give these talks about what they got up to and his family background, which was one of the 13 Illuminati families. And he was steeped in Satanism. And he talked about even the record industry being, as we know today, you know, it's the video of Illuminati, Beyonce and all that, it's just normal today. But back then he was talking about it in the 1970s. So quite an interesting character. He actually got jailed eventually. I think Trump took charge. He was put in jail for about 4 years, and eventually he just vanished directly that he'd taken care of him. But he's talking at the beginning anyway. I mean, I've known about this guy a long time, studied his work a long time. I've never actually used him, but I felt that in this instance, it was worthwhile using him, because he talks about what the Freemasons themselves have in their own books. So there's no denying it. They can duck and dive all they want. But when it's in one of their own books, and he's quoting from it, then, you know, you can't really be more bang on.
Is it Fritz Springmeier that you're talking about? Is that his name?
John Todd is his assumed name.
I'm probably thinking of someone else then. What was he talking about then? Was he talking about blood sacrifice and child abuse?
He talks about all sorts of, he's got quite a fair amount up on YouTube. Talks about starting when he first worked for him, he'd been in the army, and he talks about his mother being a witch, and certain things, even the rivalry between Freemasonry, because he thought at one point that the Freemasons were getting an easy ride, because being on the side of the witches' side of all this, you know, there were sacrifices, he admitted to sacrifices going on, but he thought that the Masons were getting, you know, more than the first year, because they didn't. But then he found out later that they actually did, and, you know, they were earning the money as much as the Satanists.
You still there, Dennis?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah. It just suddenly went silent there for a bit. So
okay. No. Like I said, he explains quite a few things. In a particular instance, I opened up the video with him quoting from the book, which, in many words, what we're saying is we say one thing to the public and another to the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. And obviously, I've got the pictures of Churchill and Roosevelt and Truman, who were all high rank, you know, above 30 at least in Freemasonry. So they'll understand all this. And it's going on to show that what they say in public is one thing, but in another, what they say privately is that Jesus is really the devil, and the devil is really the good guy. I think we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. And it kind of, it's quite eerie when you see these faces alongside what he's saying.
So they're reversing everything, basically, and that's what's in these higher up degrees that we know that these elites are a part of. The degrees over, was it 30, 31, up to 33? Do they have any more beyond that?
I believe they do. I mean, it's standard to say that you don't go past 33, but they have earned higher.
We've all heard of 33, haven't we? So I always suggest that they've got real secret stuff that the public just don't find out about. The stuff that the public,
exactly.
What we can find out about is bad enough. But what's in these books then that you've been looking into? Are these secret books?
What's that last piece said?
What's in these books that you've been looking into? Are they books available to the public, or were they from a Freemason's library?
Well, no, but all 99% of my research is on the internet, mainly YouTube, and I follow up sometimes on Google. So basically, anything I want really is available on YouTube. If I can find it, I will do, you know. And what he's saying here is that they talk about Abaddon, who is the gainer of the pit in the Bible. There's a pit with demons in it, and he's claiming that Abaddon is Jesus. in reality. So I used to, they turn it upside down. And when you think of all the millions of Christians who have been killed, everything seems to fall into place as this video has gone on.
Where they try, well, Abaddon is, I think that's in the book of Revelation, where it talks about Abaddon and the pit. So what there's, so you're saying that Jesus is really this Abaddon character that controls the pit, or is he trying to say Jesus is a bad guy and this Abaddon is really the good guy, or what? What's the idea behind it all?
Well, it seems to me that he's actually saying that Jesus is a bad guy, or God is a bad guy. I'm just trying to read it here now. Let me see. Would Abaddon, the God of the Christians, whose deeds, previous cruelty, perfidy, and hatred of man, barbarism, and repulsion of science, would Abaddon and his priests culminate him? Yes, Lucifer is God. Thus the doctrine of Satanism is a heresy, and the true, pure, philosophical religion is the belief in Lucifer, the equal of Abaddon, Jesus Christ. But Lucifer, God of light, God of good, is struggling for humanity against Abaddon, the god of darkness and evil. So they're calling Jesus Abaddon.
Yeah, I think they look at knowledge and Lucifer and light and enlightenment, and they think that this is all a wonderful thing. And they don't quite get the bit that it's because of that that death came into the world, and that it's knowledge of good and evil. It's evil that's in there as well. And before that, the world was created, and it was all good. That's why when we look at our science that we have and our technology that we have, it's all harmful to everything. Everything we think is good turns out to have some kind of harm to it that's been created by us according to our science, because it's all materialistic. It's all based on thinking that there is nothing else other than what you can see. So I think that's the bit that they miss out on. And they just see, they think, oh, there's restrictions, we can't have sex with who we want, and that's basically just an animalistic urge. The animals have sex. The animals can't communicate with God and create things and don't have morals and all these higher functions that human beings have. But yet these people just want to get involved in the lower functions of things. They just want freedom to be a pervert. And it's not really freedom, it's slavery to these sexual carnal desires. But people fall for it. So how does this tie in with this massacring of all the Christians then? Do you think this is just a hatred of the Christians?
Well, it's obviously a hatred of Christianity. In this New World Order, Christianity is going to be outlawed. So if anyone wants to be vocally a Christian, they're going to have a problem. And this has been going on since they've kind of got, I mean, they've got most power in most countries now. And if you like, you know, they are strutting. They're not actually coming out saying they're Luciferian, but the fact that Christians are dying is a warning just with that line. The thing is that, what the boot that this is in is let me just pull it up here. It's the Book of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite. So it's like, you know, one of the Bibles, if you like. So there's no denying it that they have a hidden agenda. And we've been seeing it since the French Revolution, because every time we have a revolution or we have a war, there's a stack of dead priests.
Well, they seem to have moved on from killing the priests to replacing the priests with perverts now.
Yeah. Well, another point is, the building in Strasbourg is based on the Babel, Tower of Babel. And this is more or less where all this comes from. Because after we go into that, we go then into, the biblical understandings of their beliefs, in Revelation. And they, according to what I've got on this video here, they've been waiting for thousands of years for the Antichrist to come back. And as he explains throughout the video, the person who they believe it will be, is has lived before, and he was the first king of Babylon, which was Nimrod. But he's actually named Asher in the Bible. I've pointed out that there's many names used in different cultures. I think Odin is one, believe it or not, and there's Apollo's another in other cultures. And consequently, he went to Egypt, and eventually, the time he went, all the tribes were just all broken up, but he forged them all into one. And he was known, that particular king was known as Osiris, which is the same person as this Asher, because the Greeks just changed that name. It was more or less, the Egyptian name was more or less Asher, who we believe is Nimrod. It gets complicated at times, but he's got so many names, but it's the same person.
So you got this first king of Babylon, who first came up with multiculturalism, got all the peoples together, got them into breeding together, and tried to build this big empire shortly after the flood. And I think he was associated with Semiramis. I think he had sex with his mother
or
something.
You're a bit quiet, Sven. I can hardly hear you.
I think he had sex with his mother or something. Someone called Semiramis, some ancient goddess called Semiramis that was involved with Nimrod. So you've got this, in fact, I remember reading in the books of Adam and Eve, and it talks about him being the first Satanist. He was the first one to make offerings to Satan, and he was given a crown, which he put on his own head. And he had sex with his mother, married his mother, and became worshipped as a god.
I think that's Isis, isn't it?
Yeah, well,
I might be wrong, but I think it is.
Probably these names, they all have similar roots, don't they? They have similar roots and similar meanings. So you've got this first king that was deified, and that's who they think is going to come back and be their Antichrist, you're saying?
That's right. I've got a section from the Bible which talks about Bohemoth, which is one of the monsters of the Bible created by God. And it's kind of a dual kind of thing, whereas it's explaining the actual monster, and then you realise that at one point it's actually talking about Satan, and it starts to convey that, unless you see the video. I thought I did quite a good job on it, to be honest. And then moving on from that, then we still stay with the subject. And like I said. Let me just bring this up here. It goes into the Book of Revelations and goes into the Tower of Babel. And one interesting thing was, what I noticed anyway, is that with the EU, who have this building based on the Tower of Babylon, a half-built building, in the Constitution there is no God, but it is a Freemason, you know, it's full of Freemasons, as you know, clergy, you name it. And yet they talk about the great architect of the universe when you join in Freemasonry, and yet they don't accept God in the constitution of the EU or of the United Nations. So there's something not quite right there.
They want to deify man, don't they? I mean, that building, the Strasbourg building, is obviously influenced by that painting of the Tower of Babel. He's exactly the same as it. I mean, when you were talking back then about the behemoth, there's a behemoth and leviathan, and it says that God will pierce the leviathan, you pierce the serpent. And I think that's it's similar imagery to St. Michael when he's slaying the dragon, slaying the serpent.
You know, you're still a huge fan, don't you?
Well, it fascinates me. I'm like you. I find this stuff fascinating.
Yeah, well, I think this video will be up your street. It's just difficult to explain because... You know, obviously, it's I'm a more visual person, but yeah, you're right. Leviathan. There's the word.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I really am. I mean, I've read some of this. Go on.
Go on. Sorry.
I was going to say I read some of this stuff. I think it was a book called Two Babylons.
And it was
talking about Nimrod and these Babylonian gods that have worked their way through into the 20th century, and some of them have worked their way into the Roman Catholic Church, and the Freemasons have got hold of them as well. And their influence is felt in a lot of things. But I don't think he was entirely accurate in everything. But that was quite an earth-shattering book, I think, when it first came out. Well, but now these things are common knowledge, aren't they? But everyone knows that these Masons are involved in this. We've got the New Age. We've got these people worshipping these old gods, thinking it's wonderful, the new paganism. And it all goes back to this. It can all be traced back to Babylon.
Yeah, well, it's not just the Freemasons. It's all the secret societies, you know, the Skull and Bones, and you know, they've all got the same agenda. They might have different ways of getting there, but they all know it. This has all been passed down. Bush openly, you know, admits to being in Skull and Bones, and we all know Skull and Bones is a secret society with all its rituals. And yet somehow they just, you know, they get away with it. I mean, what fascinated me when I first heard him talking was his quote of what the Masons actually say when they're checking an oath. And it mentioned this hieroglyph and what they have to say. And God is talking to them. It's not my God, I know it's not. It's not your God. But God is talking to them, right, and explaining about his son. And he's not talking about Jesus, trust me. And these are words that have to be repeated. Just briefly. No more shall I speak until you have found and raised my beloved son, and you have listened to the words of my messenger, and with him as your guide, have finished the temple which I will then inherit. This isn't my God talking, I know that for a fact, but it is a certain God talking. So he's talking about the Antichrist. And this is the blood oath.
Well, I think they work on two levels as well. I mean, they push the multiculturalism and the diversity and the equality, and everyone thinks, oh, aren't we being really progressive? But at the same time, they're worshipping these old gods and carrying out their bidding and trying to blend humanity and destroy the creation. At the same time, they're involved in all this Satanism. Well, what they're promoting to people is, oh, there is no God. Man can be his own God. Man can make up his own laws, and people don't realize it, but that is Satanism. That is Luciferianism. By saying that there is no created God, that all of that is, it comes from the other side. It comes from Lucifer, Satan, the Antichrist, whatever you want to call it. And these Masons know that at the top, and they try to worship him, and they have their rituals and what have you. And then what gets promoted to the public at large is atheism and liberalism and progressivism.
Exactly. It's watered down, but it's all got the same agenda.
They're trying to say that black is white, and good is evil. There is no good or evil. They try and make it sound scientific, but what it really is just this Kabbalistic stuff. I mean, it goes back to the Kabbalah as well. Not discriminating between good and evil, not discriminating between black and white, and you transfer that to not discriminating between the races. Not discriminating between male and female. I mean, they've got these hermaphrodites that they look up to as the supreme being. Is the hermaphrodite, you're supposed to look at it in an esoteric way, that it's the male half of the spirit blending with the female half, and then you've got harmony. But the way that comes out in society around us is the promotion of transsexuality and people mutilating themselves and telling kids that they can choose what sex they want to be. People don't link the two together. They don't think, well, hang on a minute, that's what this is. Because we get people saying, oh yes, this Hermes Trismegistus and the holy hermaphrodite and all this esoteric stuff is fascinating, but the way it actually plays out in the real world is this twisted society that we see around us.
Exactly. Well, apparently he goes on to explain that at one time, the tomb of Osiris was a myth. People didn't really believe it. And that was a while back when they discovered it. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where we were talking about the body fluids, which the Egyptians had put aside, hoping that in the future there's some way of bringing him back, which, of course, with DNA today, it's not an impossibility. But like I said, this tomb was you know, just a myth. But they actually found it. And then when they went down there, what the guy's suggesting is that when by the time the cameras got down there, they said there was nothing in the coffin. But are they telling the truth? You know, because all the stories were saying that they actually did, and the drawings on the pyramid wall, the Egyptian wall there, actually shows them taking this body fluid and putting it in a jar.
Was that, is it the tomb of Abydos? Is that what it's called?
Well, no, this is Osiris now. This is when he went to Egypt. And this is why there's all these obliques all over the place, and Cleopatra's needle, which were carted over from Egypt. So all this fascination of Egypt stems from, you know, Babylonian and Egyptian mysticism.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I've never understood that, why we have these Egyptian obelisks everywhere.
No, well, I understand it now. maybe if you see the video, it might clear things up a bit. But certainly, I wasn't that clued up on all this, but then it just all starts to fall together. Obviously, they refute Christ as the Messiah, and have been waiting for their own Messiah for a couple of thousand years. Well, all this has been going on in the background. And that's why all society is a secret.
Well, I say another thing there, Dennis, as well, with all this Egyptian imagery that they use and the obelisks and all the rest of it, I mean, it certainly puts paid to the Jews' lie that they were the Israelites that were captured by the Egyptians, because the Jews are running everything.
Yeah.
So if the Jews are running everything, why would they be putting their former slave masters' images everywhere? Because they weren't captured by them. They were the former slave masters.
Yeah.
They were the ones in Egypt and Babylon and all these...
Exactly. They're the ones who are always playing the victim.
Yeah.
As we know. So it shouldn't come as too much of a surprise to people to find out that was the same then.
Now, it doesn't surprise me that they actually find proofs of this, like tombs. I mean, there was supposedly, I think the Egyptian god was supposed to be cut up into different pieces, and they found different bits of his body all around the world, and there were... the temples built wherever these bits of the body were found. So there's got to be remains of that. So all these myths are based on real things happening, and then over time they get embellishments put upon them. But the kernel of the truth is still there.
It looks like that's happened in this case. It is fascinating, though. Like I said, making the video wasn't easy. Because finding the footage to match the commentary, he was talking for 50 minutes, and you've got to remember, this is a 15-minute video with only maybe 5 minutes, 8 tops for him to talk. I've got to move on to other things, you know. So it was difficult what to leave out and whatever like. And this is the bit of work what I did when the PC broke down a while back, and I said I were doing some work behind the scenes meanwhile. And so, consequently, I'm on the verge of finishing it now, like maybe just another 10 minutes and it's finished. But I did find some really good footage of certain things as well, which enhances everything then. You know, it all looks like, you know, it's sensible. Because one thing they try to do that in coming in by the back door, but I actually had the loosest trust talking about it themselves, which, you know, you can't argue with that then, because they're actually admitting it. But all this talk about the Antichrist, Hollywood, really one of the Masonic places on this earth, and made numerous movies about the Antichrist, Rosemary's Baby, Omen, a couple of others that I can think of. So it all ties in, and of course, obviously, the actual opening title is The Freemason, the Occult, and Their Return of the King. So when you're talking about a king what's lived before in the past, and they're waiting for this king, that doesn't take too much of a genius to think that they're going to look to a bloodline.
Yeah, that makes sense. Somebody that would still be connected to Nimrod, I guess, rather than looking for someone.
I don't think you're ever going to be born in a stable.
No. No, well, they won't be out sort of looking for someone. Like they're looking out for the golden child or the What is it?
He's not going to rough it, is he?
No. No, they'll be grooming someone. You know, Macron, that new French president.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see some evil things coming from him. He might be the one.
Yeah.
You know, he seems to be trying to put himself across as speaking English, speaking French, speaking different languages, as if he's, you know, like the multicultural president, not just the president of France, but the president of all the progressive countries together.
He's come from nowhere, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Literally come from nowhere. And we were talking the other day about something. I thought, you know, that's a bit big when he's talking about things. He's only just landed on scene, so who knows? He could be right there. But then, like I said, I show these clips to try and back it all up, so it's visually matching what's being said. And then we get to that point where Sean Stone, who is the son of Oliver Stone, Hollywood director, I don't know if you can remember this, but it wasn't that long ago where he said we should have more investigation into Adolf Hitler, and the whole world came in on him, as you can imagine. So that ended that little bout of inspiration. But his son talks about, because he used footage from Wide Eyes Shut, which is obviously a secret society with sex rituals and whatever. And he's claiming that they are real. They use a skull, some kind of skull, to force in or force out this energy. So it doesn't surprise me either, because every time I see a hidden society photograph, they've all got a skull in the middle of the table.
Well, it's quite a powerful symbol of death, isn't it? So what's Oliver Stone's son got to do with all this then? What is it, he was talking about this, saying that that's what they're all involved in, or what?
Well, no, he's actually in an interview with somebody. It's quite long and complicated, so I've just took a clip out of it of what he said. I mean, you know, to me, he's got no reason to lie about things like this. If anything, he's got a reason not to say anything. But again, people will judge for themselves when they see it. And then after him, like I said, I've got a lot to fit in this 15 minutes, and I wanted to fit in this this bit of this speech, edited though it is, of Mother Mary Anglican, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, who for me was disgusted at this. I mean, this is a Masonic ritual. When you're portraying somebody as a woman, you're doing this in Hollywood to all the leading actors. You know, they force them to wear a dress, otherwise you ain't going to get your part, Mr., you know, Brad Pitt, or whoever. So it's some kind of Masonic ritual which humiliates a man. And so this obviously has a known offending her, and she spoke out about it. And I've only got on for a couple of minutes, but again, it was a long vent that she had on YouTube, so I've just used bits of it. But for me, it just captured what Christianity would have been like, talking to my dad and other people, you know, and the Catholic Church. It captured the essence of that European feel of that time. So I have to use it. And consequently, the way she's talking, it's applicable just the same today, because this is 30 years after the Council Vatican II. We're talking in the 90s. So it's moved on again for us, and it's still applicable because the same people are still pushing the same decadence and everything else. So that's another vital part to this particular episode. I wanted to capture that feeling because that's been lost and hidden. And then finally it moves into the one and only Adolf Hitler, and he's treated the same way. He's treated dressed as a woman with breasts, and this humiliation, this Masonic Jewish humiliation, was always going to happen to him because of all the people throughout history, he has been one of the biggest headaches. And although people turn around and say, with no evidence whatsoever, say he wasn't a Christian, there's a stack of evidence of his actions that say he certainly was. And not only was he a Christian, but you're going to be hard pushed to find a greater one.
Yeah, definitely. I was just thinking there when you were saying about the this nun, and she was talking about Jesus being dressed as a woman, and the way that they mock and ridicule these actors and try and get them to wear dresses. You know, just this week in the news, we had all these schoolboys that are dressed up in skirts. I mean, they wanted to protest the fact they weren't allowed to wear shorts. And so they all wore skirts.
News, I think.
And the media thought this was fantastic. And all these dreadful celebrities were cheering this and saying how wonderful it is that these boys are wearing skirts. So how brave is that? That's terrible. Absolute terrible insult to their masculinity. And all the women are laughing at them behind what they're actually saying. They say, oh, look how brave they are. They're laughing at them. They're mocking those boys for that. Horrific.
And all the cameras were there for it.
Yeah. It staged so it would all be seen in the newspapers and in this wonderful boys dressed as girls. No, it's horrific. You think just 30 years ago, this nun was speaking up about it, that they dressed Jesus in that. And then you move on from that and they're dunking Jesus in urine and the crucifix in urine. And also this week they've got Donald Trump turned upside down in a bucket of urine. That's supposedly artwork. So you can see the way that these things progress over time, can't you? And people stand out and say, this is wrong. And it's 10 times worse 10 years on down the line.
Yeah, I mean, they have this, I think, I mean, they believe in symbols and symbology and the fact that, say, for instance, there was like, I don't know, 500 million more maybe watching the Olympic Games, and they had this kind of ritual going on because they knew all around the world at this one certain point these millions of people would be watching, and this must give some kind of surge of an energy or something, because they're always doing this kind of thing on the ley lines of with Freemasonry. And one of the things which struck me was the fact when Roosevelt brought out the eye over the pyramid on the back of the dollar. And one's thinking to yourself, why is he bringing out an eye over a pyramid which represents Satan, Lucifer, you know, on the back of a dollar bill? And when you think about it, every morning, since 1933, but every morning, there's millions of Americans who reach in the pocket and pull out devil. It's just like a ritual every day without them even knowing it. And, you know, I do believe that they think there's some kind of power in this kind of ritual of mass executions of things going on around the world.
I think Michael Hoffman's
that makes sense.
Yeah, well, I think Michael Hoffman's just written a book on the occult Renaissance Church of Rome, and I haven't read the book. It's supposed to be very good. I will eventually get it, but apparently in that he's explaining how these Egyptian ideas and these Masonic ideas, it became infiltrated into the Catholic Church, so that the Catholic Church started using the eye and the pyramid, and this is why you see that eye on the pyramid in some things to do with Catholicism, because it infiltrated the Catholic Church in the Renaissance. It's all this Enlightenment period when all these occult ideas seeped their way into society, and it was all coming from these secret societies, which were all either started by the Jews or heavily involved with them. So it's really good that you're tracing all of this, Dennis, and tracing it right the way back to Nimrod, because I think you're onto something there when they say that they're that's the Antichrist that they're waiting for.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Well, I think so myself. But, you know, like I said, like I listened to the talk it was given, and there were certain chords being hit. I'd say what's interesting, though, I couldn't fit it in this video. I've got to list the names for you in a minute as well for Nimrod. But I couldn't fit it in. But I found out in the National Workers' Party, the Nazi Party in Germany, in their organisation book, they have a list of who the SS were fighting or were against. Obviously, one was Jews, another was Freemasons, another was Jesuits, and another was political clergymen. So what he meant by that was, obviously we know the Jews, and we know the Freemasons are fifth column for the Jews, but the Jesuits were Jews originally. And I've only ever raised their head when Rothschild have been around. I've always noticed that. And so obviously they were wise to them. And then you've got political clergy. Well, the political clergy are these people who are saying that, that Hitler threw these priests in prison, what have you. Yes, he threw some priests in prison. These were the ones which had infiltrated and were left-wing. And obviously, speaking out against Hitler, they were always going to get thrown in a camp.
Well, they're all political clergy now. I'd say the political clergy are the ones that, instead of preaching from the Bible, yeah, they're preaching from the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. You know, I've seen that. I've seen the Archbishop of Canterbury. I mean, he's supposed to be preaching from the Bible, and he's not. He's preaching from the UN Declaration of Human Rights or the European Union Treaty. And you've got these clergy. They're supposed to be talking to their flock, talking to their church, talking against laws that have been broken from in the Bible, and they're not. They're preaching against racism, preaching that we should be accepting refugees, preaching that diversity is our strength. Saying racism is a sin. How can they say racism is a sin? But they do. That's all political clergy. That's all the clergy is now, is political.
Well, exactly. I mean, if anybody wanted the proof about Hitler and the Roman Catholic Church, he would not give the time of day to this peasant pope, who is a Jesuit, to start with, and who was pushing the world, New World Order anyway. But he wouldn't get anywhere near with Hitler around. It's a totally different Catholic Church, completely different, which again, they tried to hide. Let me just read some of the names out for you, by the way, Nimrod, other names, because obviously when they left Babylon, they all went all over the place, other languages and what have you, eventually like, yeah, their own names for everybody. But this Nimrod is also known as Odin, Woden, Molech, Baal, Neptune, Jupiter, Pluto, Mars, Hermes, trying to think of some you might have, Zeus is another one you probably heard of. There's a few more which I haven't heard of. So consequently, it's all the same person. And Molech's not a good one, is he? He's the one with all the offer the child sacrifices to.
Yeah, I'd like to see how they work them all out as being the same people. They probably have to have a similar title or something like that.
Worship one person who's the head of evil. That's probably the name they give them. I don't know.
Well, I guess if they're looking at eating babies, stuff like that. I mean, you've got, I think it's Kronos that ate his children. You got Moloch that's, you know, that the Jews would sacrifice children to, or the Canaanites would sacrifice children to. No, so I guess if you've got a god that...
They used to do that just outside of Jerusalem, didn't they? Just outside.
Yeah, and it...
obviously it still goes on today, obviously, because children go missing.
In Carthage as well. I mean, in Carthage, in North Africa, they found evidence of it. They found all these burials of these kids that have been sacrificed, and the same in Petra, which is just outside of Judea, which was where the Edomites were. They had all these human sacrifices there. So we do have all the evidence of this. It was going on up to 2,000 years ago. I think all they've done is move forward technologically, and it's now abortion. That's their human sacrifice. Is it abortion?
Not just abortion, I don't think. I think when they're murdering, you know, 1.5 million German soldiers after the war, you know, that's another mass killing, another offer of dead bodies to the god, I think.
Well, that's the real Holocaust, isn't it?
That's the real one. Yeah, exactly. As we discussed the Ukraine one as well. You know, these are all unrecognised as genocides these days.
These mass slaughters of millions of people, and the people at the top that are carrying this out are affirmed Satanists and Luciferians.
Now we're talking, which is why this video really needed to show. I mean, it's more or less religious fanaticism. It has to be going on for over a couple of thousand years. It's got to be a fanatical religious drive. And although Freemasons deny that Freemasonry is a religion, he actually said that again in that book, that they are a religion. So, you know, and used to be called temples, which they got rid of because that kind of points out that they were a religion, and called them lodges. So they're very deceitful, very crafty, they've been going on a long time with a fanatical drive.
Well, they must pass it down to their children as well, I would have thought.
It's a family thing, isn't it?
Go with these Illuminati families, there's some things that they would trust with their children. If you've got these long generations that have continued right the way up till today, especially involved with banking, I mean, we know the Jews are all tightly knit, close together. But there must have been obviously like the Rothschilds family.
I mean, you know, things very rarely, occasionally the odd leak comes out, but nothing, you know, because people are probably scared anyway, because, you know, there's no doubt that, you know, the lives are over if you're talking. That guy was talking on YouTube, who said that he was told, you know, to make a child sacrifice, and he couldn't bring himself to do it. And, you know, obviously he's opening up, talking about these Luciferians.
Well, they rely on people not believing it because it's so out of the ordinary. It's so unlike anything that people think people would do. I mean, we get so shocked by people carrying out these horrific acts that people just don't want to believe that it goes on. It's almost like when the Muslims carry out these mass rapes, and people just don't want to believe it because they don't want to believe that the Muslims are the bad guys. They don't want to be racist, so they just refuse to believe it, and the Muslims can just carry on without a care in the world, knowing that they won't get caught. It's the same thing with Satanism and these satanic abuse of children. People just don't want to believe it. They think, oh, that's crazy stuff. That's some evangelical Christian crazy nonsense. But I think more people are open to it now because of the internet.
Well, that's right. If it weren't for the internet, people would be even less believing. But the thing is, you look at the Bushes right now. Like I said early on, we all know they're members of secret society. I've just said that they have this goal in mind, which has been handed down through generations. Now, Father Bush, I don't know if you can remember this, but when the troops were coming out of Kuwait, it kind of blocked off the highway of death, they call it, and there were just massacres. I mean, hundreds of thousands, I don't know, but it was miles and miles of just dead bodies. And that, to me, come across as a suicide. As a sacrifice. And the other one, I was thinking about was the 500,000 Iraqi children who, under the sanctions alone from America, I was looking into this the other week actually, and I think it was, I can't remember her name now, Mayor Brass, was talking in an interview saying it was worth it, these sanctions were worth it, even though they killed 500,000 children. I looked more into it, and the actual UN and the US actually banned chlorine, so they couldn't get clean water, and they knew they couldn't get clean water, and this were killing kids. And they bombed a factory. They said it was a chemical factory, but actually it were a powdered milk factory, which supplied a third of Iraq. And so women were now having babies undernourished, and it was just a whole satanic feel to it. This isn't what we're, you know, you just read about sanctions in a paper, you know, it doesn't really mean nothing. But when you go into exactly what they did, brutal. No medicines, brutal.
Yeah, so it's absolutely horrific. It makes me think maybe they're rewarded in this life. They've accepted that if they do incredibly evil and wicked things, then they'll get rewarded in this life. They'll get to the top, they'll get lots of money, and then they'll lose their soul at the end of it.
Money is the root of it all.
Yeah,
money is power. I've probably got more money than he, haven't
they? Well,
power now,
isn't it? This is it. I think we've got people that are tempted by this. They're tempted by money, and they're tempted by materialism. And we've got people that are created evil in the first place. You know, I think the Jews are like that. That's the role they were created to play. And they're a mixed race, and they have this diabolical streak, and they use that diabolical streak to tempt us. And then you've got dumb goyim who fall for the temptations and join them and work with them, and they are the traitors and the people in our governments that go along with the Jewish plans to flood our countries with foreigners and all the rest of it, and help them along with the usury. So you've got two types. You've got one type that's always going to be like that, and they've got no hope. They were created as devils to play the role as devils. And then you've got our people who don't have to be devils, but so many of us choose to fall for it. Go along with it.
Yeah. This thing about him, you know, walking around scot-free doing all this, and you know, Tony Blair, whatever, surely can't go on forever.
Well, yeah, you could take him for example. I mean, he's just got away with it scot-free, starting a war. Yeah. I mean, they had the inquiries. They even put him in there as Middle East peace envoy after doing that.
Exactly.
Just because we'll talk about rubbing people's noses in it after he's destroyed half the Middle East. And yet, yeah, he's still walking around. He's still got police bodyguards, loads of money, loads of houses. Trying to interfere with the EU. These people are looked after by the devil.
When Blair finished his prime minister stint, because they won't allow a Catholic prime minister in this country anyway, but as soon as he finished, Mike, he rushed off to become a Catholic. Well, you know, I look at Blair, and that convinces me, Catholic Church, Luciferian, if he wants to join Rapid.
Well, yeah, if they're going to accept somebody like that, as I say, the devil looks out for his own. I think. I mean, if you look at the story in the New Testament, you've got the devil there tempting Jesus, and the devil offers him all the kingdoms in the world, and it says that he's the prince of this world, and he can offer out these kingdoms to whoever he chooses. Yeah. And I think that's the way that it is. And we've got these people in power that are really evil, and they are rewarded for their evil, but their reward is only in this life. And this life is over in the blink of an eyelid when you think of eternity. You know, if you're a Christian, you have a promise of eternity. That's what we've got waiting for us because we don't go along with the temptation and we speak out against it. And if we get enough of us to... Go on.
I don't think you're right. I think this video will make it even clearer that we are being ruled by certainly this side of the world. There's an evil streak there. Always looking for wars. Always blaming other people. Always going into the countries, plunging what's there, taking the gold, taking the oil. And like I said, this is kind of a basic route look into the mindset.
If you get enough people that with enough of a drive to be moral and to fight against this, and you get enough people like that, it starts with the individuals trying to improve themselves. And when you get enough of them, and you get somebody that comes forward that could become a focal point, and then you get something flowering like the NSDAP and strong enough to resist it.
Yeah.
But that's how it starts, is with individuals working on their own individual lives and improving them and rejecting all these temptations. And eventually you get enough people like that in the country, and it can change the whole point of view of the whole nation, and they can fight back. I mean, we've seen it happen. So it does happen.
Yeah. I mean, we're to doubt. I think people are waking up, certainly because of the internet, but whether or not we're waking up, whether we're in time or whether or not the fact is it's too late or whatever, who knows? But they need to wake up before they can do anything.
Yeah, well, never too late to wake up. It's never too late to realise that, you know, you've been going down the wrong path, and change and head back onto the right path.
Yeah.
You can always do that. This is a problem I think we face. A lot of people, they've got so much sunk in with their deep-seated beliefs about liberalism and diversity and the Second World War. And you can show them the facts, but they won't be interested because for the last 20 years, they've been supporting this false view, and they don't want to admit that they're wrong. But it's far better to admit that you're wrong and then be right than to carry on being in the wrong.
Well, everybody can get fooled.
At least then your conscience is clear. You know, your conscience is clear with God, and that's what matters. That's what matters in the end. Dennis.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure these all have consciousness, but yeah, I do take a point.
Well, I don't think they do, but we do, and our listeners do, and people like us do. Dennis, thank you very much for coming on.
All right, we managed to get through.
Yeah, just about in the end, we've managed to connect over the phone. And sorry about the sound quality.
Well, I'll
catch
on with this, and hopefully we get to see it soon.
Yeah, I'm sure people will be able to understand what you've been saying. I've been able to in the recording of it. And hopefully you'll get, was it part four, isn't it?
Yeah, part four.
Yeah, hopefully part four will be up in a couple of hours so people can see what we've been talking about. We'll be back next week, same time, same place at Radio Aryan. So until then, we hope you all have a wonderful weekend.
To Radio Aryan.